Good morning. 6:43 on 7/23. 2013. 6:43, 7 July 23, 2013. A Tuesday. 17:26 on the first mile. Yeah, to say that I was not pushing very hard this morning would be a pretty significant understatement. Although, the goal is under 19. The fitness goal is under 19 minutes. So, yeah, I'm still a minute and a half under that. So, I can't complain too much. And not pushing very hard, I'm still under 17 and a half. I'm not going to complain. The reality is I've barely been up 45 minutes. Actually, I think 5:45. So yeah, I haven't been up in 3/4 of an hour yet. So the fact that I'm actually out and moving before coffee, before breakfast, but I did have some orange juice just because I needed something. But yeah, nothing. Kind of. Well, okay. Well, let's see. So, I'm out. I'm walking, and the reason I'm doing that is because I'm on a schedule. I've got 6 to 7 is my walking time, and even though I didn't get up until almost six, that's not really a good excuse not to go. Now, the mornings that I don't get up until 6:30 or 7 o'clock, okay, I overslept. That's not going to happen. But, yeah, I got a good night's sleep. I finished the day yesterday on 5,000 words. Just barely. It was like 5,025 or something. 5,000 words. The Greedock story is at 33.7 out of 40. So, a fractional amount. 7 and a bit. I have 2 in the bank. So really, 5 and a little. And I think at this point it's going to come in over, because I've got loose ends here in this storyline that I need to wrap up before I get to the changeover to the end. So it could be a challenge, could be interesting. I prefer to override it so that when Scott starts chopping stuff out, I'm still at 40. But this process has reminded me of an old Zen koan about the artist and the fish. And the story goes, there was a famous artist who practiced in ancient times. And his work was legendary. And yet, in spite of that, he took commissions from everyone, anyone who came to him, who wanted a painting. He would accept their commission. He would charge them, but as a result, most of his commissions came from wealthy merchants, etc. So, anyway, one day a merchant comes to his house and says, I've put in a new koi pond, and I would like to have a painting of a fish. And I would like you to paint me a painting of a fish to go in my pavilion beside my new koi pond. And so the artist accepted the commission, and the merchant went off. Comes back a week later, and no, I don't have your painting done. And so the artist, the merchant left and comes back 2 weeks later. No, I don't have your painting done. And the merchant leaves, comes back a month later. No, I don't have your painting done. This goes on for quite some time, and almost a year goes by, and finally the merchant is out of patience, and he comes back to the artist and says, I need my painting. I have to have my painting. I need my painting. The painting that you have been promising me for a year, where is the painting of my fish? And the artist shrugs and says, come with me. And they go to his studio, and the artist sits and he moistens his brushes and he wets his pigments and he lays a fresh sheet of rice paper down. And in a few strokes, creates a fish so real it seems to swim off the page, delighting the merchant. And he turns to the artist at the end and he says, if that's all it took, if you could do this in such little time, why has it taken you so long to sit down to do it? And the artist rose. He went to a closet and opened the door. An avalanche of fish paintings fell out. Hundreds of them spreading across the floor. Now, I'm not really a Zen artist, but part of this process, as frustrating as it is, part of this process involves a lot of false starts. It involves a lot of work that would seem to be wasted. Any one of those fish pictures probably would have satisfied the merchant. None of them satisfied the artist. And I think a lot of my problem with the Greedock story is that, well, other than the fact that I have a problem with the Greedock story to begin with, it's not, to use marketing speak, it's not in my wheelhouse. I hate that phrase, but it's a good descriptor. It's not. It's a collection of characters and a set of settings that I am not familiar or comfortable with. And it requires me to work in someone else's sandbox, and also requires me to point, to hit point on about a dozen plot issues that all have to be resolved within this story. And so there's a lot of moving parts that apparently I needed a lot more time than I thought to get my mind around. I think I have written 100,000 words on this story. Including the 40,000, almost 40,000 that I've got done now. And it brings home something that my research advisor said when I was doing my doctoral dissertation, and that was, this isn't a straight line. As much as you want it to be, this is not a straight line. And I took a couple of rather odd turns, including wanting, actually, to do a dissertation on gaming and the use of online games in distance education and online instruction. And I actually did a lot of research and took a couple of wrong turns and spent a lot of time fiddling about. But in the end, the research that I did was actually relatively significant. It's largely been ignored, and that's okay. I expected it would be ignored. I'm only a doctoral student at the time. It's only a doctoral dissertation. But that research has made a big difference in how I view social media and how I view the dynamic, the structure of social media, how I look at all social media as kind of different flavors of the same thing. It's like I can look at the structure of a book, and the structure of a book is basically the same. It has covers, it has pages, it has ink on the pages so that the words can be decoded by a reader. That's a book. And there are other varieties, so that there are subclasses of book, but the classification book actually stands up across pretty much all of them. Where it breaks down is the ebook. The ebook is a digital representation of a text. It's not a digital representation of a book, because you do not digitally represent ink, even though e-ink pretends to. There is no cover to protect the text, although there is a cover image that serves the same purpose, to attract the eye, to hint at the genre, to provide some introductory information to the reader about the story within. But it's not a book. A book is a physical object. An ebook is a digital object. They are similar, but they're not the same. Ce n'est pas un pipe. This is not a pipe. So it's kind of important to have that understanding. And so for me, social media has a kind of structure. It has a kind of overarching model. And if you pay attention to the overarching model, it can tell you some things about social media in general, that looking at the individual instances of social media, Twitter, for example, Facebook for another, MySpace, early version, blogging, which is in fact social media, the nature of the conversational aspect of social media becomes readily apparent. The nature of audience becomes readily apparent. The application of filters is in some cases absolutely required, in other cases not terribly required, but even on a blog we have to control commentary in order to prevent the comment streams from becoming clogged with spam. Or we spend a lot of time deleting spam. So the nature of social media has its own structure, it has its own shape, it has its own ideal. And I'm not sure any of them actually, at the moment, correspond to an ideal, and I'm not sure that they need to, in large part because each one provides a slightly different take on social media, on how you organize, how you filter, how you select, how you reject. So it's interesting, and it's kind of one of those things that makes me go, So a lot of the study, a lot of the research that I did, which was primarily focused on social presence, in online classes, courses that were offered at a distance using computer-mediated communications, that research has really, really helped me come to an understanding of what research or what social media is about. And if I hadn't been interested in online games back then, way, way, way back then, 20 years ago, if I hadn't been interested in how people respond, and then if I hadn't run into this very curious research finding that showed that online courses alienated students, then I would not have been able to find the research, find the topic that interested me sufficiently to spend 2 years writing, researching, and then writing the book about it back in 2004 and 2005. No, 2003, 2004. I graduated in 2004. Gosh, was it that long? It's been 10 years almost since I graduated, since I got my PhD. And I only taught for like 5 years after that. And even then as an adjunct. Would I take a teaching job? Every once in a while I think about this, I ponder this. What if my old research advisor, who is now the Dean of Education at a nearby university, were to call me up and say, I need you to come run this unit, will you? The problem is I probably couldn't get through the vetting process, except that having the dean on my side was, that's pretty good. But I'm 5 years out of date. Now, in education, 5 years out of date is like about 5 minutes for the rest of us. But still, the perception will be, well, you haven't taught in 5 years. What do you know about the field? Let's see, 5 years. I can be pretty sure that the field hasn't changed a whole lot. I can be pretty sure that the educational policy that's being driven by the feds has continued to gut most of the programs. I can be pretty sure that the research agendas that most people are following are, if not pointless, then at least highly suspect. A lot of the research that I saw coming out of education was really quite highly suspect. Even the National Science Foundation's requests for quote for research were highly suspect. They were largely media comparison studies, and they wanted to know learn the efficacy of online education. The problem, of course, was that there's no studies showing the efficacy of classroom education, which makes it difficult to come up with a baseline for what might constitute a valid study. How efficacious is it? All the research into classroom education says it's doing a terrible job. If it weren't, we wouldn't be having all of these educational reform movements. So finding an online education instance that is effective as the classroom is kind of damning with faint praise. It's not really something you want to try to do generally. It's not a generalizable outcome. So it's an interesting challenge, it's an interesting dichotomy. It's like, we know classrooms aren't working, and yet classrooms are still the gold standard. But the same problem with online is exemplified by this, the classroom isn't working statement. Because it's not the classroom that's not working. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the classroom model. The classroom model is perfectly fine. The problem comes back to a much more complicated issue, which is, why aren't students learning? In large part, they're not learning because we're not paying attention to the factors that foster learning. We're paying attention to the factors that foster education. And the fact that the students are not picking it up on the other end really does, or should, underscore the reality that the fundamental flaw is not in the classroom. And the fundamental flaw is, well, maybe in the classroom. But it's the problem. The problem is poverty. It's not curriculum. And we come back to it over and over again. Nobody wants to deal with it, but that's really the issue. The problem is poverty, not curriculum. Because that's when we come down. That's what everybody's trying to deal with. Trying to change the curriculum to make it more effective, to make it more demanding, to make it more rigorous, so that when they graduate, they'll have learned something significant, not just something. The ever popular bachelor's degree in basket weaving. Wow, almost 19 minutes on the second mile. I am poking along, but you know what? I don't care. I'm moving. But I'm at the back gate and I will get off my educational rant now. But yeah, would I take a job? I don't know. It would be hard to give this life up. But being at the back gate, tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.